Unit 5, Part 1, Language Skills Development. 1. Starter.
B. Listen to the dialogue and choose the best answer for each question you hear.
Peter, don't let anyone in as I take a stroll with other apostles and saints in the garden.
Yes, my lord. I'll keep watch for you.
A knock at the gate.
Who is it?
I'm a poor, honest tailor who is requesting admission.
Honest indeed. You have been sticky-fingered and have robbed people of their cloth. You will not get into heaven.
The Lord has forbidden me to let anyone in as long as he is out. Oh, please be merciful. Little scraps that fall off the table by themselves are not stolen and are not worth mentioning. Just let me in, and I will do all the dirty work.
Moved by the tailor's words, Peter opened the door.
Just stay in the corner behind the door quietly and peacefully, so that the Lord won't notice you when he returns and become angry. I promise.
God returned after the stroll and found the footstool missing.
Where is my footstool? Has anyone come in?
No one has been here except for a lame tailor who is still sitting behind the door.
Well, bring him here.
God asked the tailor.
Have you taken my footstool?
Oh, Lord, in my anger, I threw it down to earth at an old woman. She stole two scarves while doing the laundry.
Oh, you scoundrel! If I were to judge as you judge, I would have thrown everything down at the sinners. You can no longer stay in heaven, but must go outside the gate again. Here no one meets out punishment, except for me alone, the Lord.
2. Text, The Tailor in Heaven, by Jacob and Willem Grimm.
It came to pass that one beautiful day, God wished to take a stroll in the heavenly garden, and took all the apostles and saints with him, leaving no one in heaven but Saint Peter. The Lord had commanded him to allow no one to enter during his absence, so Peter stood by the gate and kept watch. Before long, someone knocked. Peter asked who was there and what he wanted. "I'm a poor, honest tailor who is requesting admission," replied a pleasant voice. "Honest indeed," said Peter, "like the thief on the gallows. You have been sticky-fingered and have robbed people of their cloth. You will not get into heaven. The Lord has forbidden me to let anyone in as long as he is out."
"Oh, please be merciful," cried the tailor. "Little scraps that fall off the table by themselves are not stolen and are not worth mentioning. See here, I am limping and have blisters on my feet from walking here. I cannot possibly go back again. Just let me in, and I will do all the dirty work. I will tend the children, wash their diapers, wipe off and clean the benches on which they have been playing, and patch all their torn clothes." St. Peter let himself be moved by pity and opened heaven's gate just wide enough for the lame tailor to slip his lean body inside. He had to take a seat in a corner behind the door and was told to stay there quietly and peacefully so that the Lord would not notice him when he returned and become angry. The tailor obeyed, but one time when St. Peter stepped outside the gate, he got up and, full of curiosity, looked into every corner of heaven, seeing what was there. Finally, he came to a place where there were many beautiful and costly chairs. At their center was a seat made entirely of gold and set with glistening precious stones. It stood much higher than the other chairs, and a golden footstool stood in front of it. This was the seat on which the Lord sat when he was at home, and from which he could see everything that was happening on earth. The tailor stood still and looked at the seat for a long time, for he liked it better than all the rest. Finally, he could control his curiosity no longer, and he climbed up and sat down on it. From there, he saw everything that was happening on earth. He noticed an ugly old woman who was standing beside a stream doing the laundry. She secretly set two scarves aside. Seeing this made the tailor so angry that he took hold of the golden footstool and threw it at the old thief, through heaven down to earth. Unable to bring the stool back again, he quietly sneaked down from the seat, sat back down in his place behind the door, and pretended that he had done nothing at all. When the Lord and Master returned with his heavenly attendants, he did not notice the tailor behind the door, but when he sat down on his seat, the footstool was missing. He asked Saint Peter what had become of the footstool, but he did not know. Then he asked if he had admitted anyone. "I know of no one who has been here," answered Peter, "except for a lame tailor, who is still sitting behind the door." Then the Lord had the tailor brought before him and asked him if he had taken the footstool and where he had put it. "O Lord," answered the tailor joyously, "in my anger I threw it down to earth at an old woman whom I saw stealing two scarves while doing the laundry." "Oh, you scoundrel," said the Lord, "if I were to judge as you judge, how would it have gone with you? I would have long since had no chairs, benches, seats, no, not even a stove poker, but would have thrown everything down at the sinners. You can no longer stay in heaven, but must go outside the gate again. From there, watch where you are going. Here, no one meets out punishment except for me alone, the Lord." Peter had to take the tailor out of heaven again, and because his shoes were worn out and his feet were covered with blisters, he took a stick in his hand and went to wait a while, where the good soldiers sit and make merry.
New words.
Stroll.
Heavenly.
Apostle.
Saint.
Command.
Gallows.
Sticky fingered.
Forbid.
Merciful.
Scrap.
Limp.
Blister.
Tend.
Diaper.
Patch.
Lame.
Slip.
Glistening.
Footstool.
Laundry.
Scarf.
Aside.
Sneak.
Attendant.
Joyously.
Scoundrel.
Stove poker.
Sinner.
Meat.
Punishment.
Proper nouns.
Jacob and William Green.
The Lord.
6. Practice. Listening.
Listen to a fairy tale written by the Brothers Grimm and then fill in the blanks with appropriate words.
Godfather Death. A boy was given death as his godfather when he was a baby, because his poor father thought death was fair to everyone. After the boy came of age, his godfather appeared to him one day and asked him to go with him. He took him out into the woods and showed him a herb that grew there, saying, "Now you shall receive your godfather's present. I will turn you into a famous physician. Whenever you are called to a sick person, I will appear to you. If I stand at the sick person's head, you may say with confidence that you can make him well again. Then give him some of this herb, and he will recover. But if I stand at the sick person's feet, he is mine, and you must say that he is beyond help, and that no physician in the world could save him. But beware of using this herb against my will, or something very bad will happen to you. It was not long before the young man had become the most famous physician in the whole world. Now the king's daughter became seriously ill. When the physician came to the sick girl's bed, he saw death at her feet. He was so mad about the princess's beauty and the thought of becoming her husband. He lifted up the sick girl and placed her head where her feet had been. Then he gave her some of the herb and she recovered and became healthy again. Death, seeing that he had been cheated, approached the physician and said, "You are finished. Now it is your turn." The physician immediately fell to the ground.
Part 2.
Language in use. 1. Dialogue. Dealing with complaints. Problems sometimes do occur in shopping. When this is the case, customer care representatives need to handle consumers' complaints. Peter, a customer care representative, is talking to a customer who is complaining at the other end of the telephone. Read and listen to the dialogue, then fill in the blanks. "Good morning. I purchased a computer from your company last month. Unfortunately, I'm not satisfied with my new computer. I'm having a lot of problems."
"What seems to be the problem?"
"I'm having problems with my internet connection, as well as repeated crashes when I try to run my word processing software."
"Did you read the instructions that came with the computer?"
"Well, yes, but the troubleshooting section was no help."
"What happened exactly?"
"Well, the internet connection doesn't work. I think the network card is broken. I'd like a replacement."
"How were you using the computer when you tried to connect to the internet?"
"I was trying to connect to the internet. What kind of question is that?"
"I understand you're upset. I'm just trying to understand the problem. I'm afraid it's not our policy to replace computers because of glitches."
"I bought this computer with the software preloaded. I haven't touched anything."
"We're sorry that you've had a problem with this computer. Could you please bring in your computer? I promise that we'll check the settings and get back to you immediately."
"Okay, that will work for me."
"Is there anything else I need to know about this that I haven't thought to ask?"
"No, I'd just like to be able to use my computer to connect to the internet."
"We'll do our best to get your computer working as soon as possible."
New words.
Complaint.
Representative.
Handle.
Connection.
Repeated.
Crash. Software.
Troubleshooting.
Section.
Replacement.
Upset.
Glitch.
2. Pair work. Settling complaints.
Reference answer.
"How can I help you, sir?"
"It's about this watch."
"What seems to be the problem?"
"The alarm doesn't work, and the strap leaves a green mark on my wrist when I take it off."
"Have you worn the watch in the shower, sir?"
"No. And I only bought it 2 weeks ago. It's still under guarantee, but I must say, for the amount of money I paid for it, I'm very disappointed."
"I'm so sorry you've been inconvenienced. Would you like a refund?"
"No, I'd rather have the watch replaced, please."
"Right. Well, I'll just take down your purchasing details and we'll get this watch changed for you in no time at all." 3. Text. You be the judge.
Rabbi Israel Polyev, a high school teacher in Cedarhurst, New York, didn't have much time for vacations. Neither did his wife, Eugenie, a school secretary. That's why the couple, both in their 60s, had been looking forward to a trip to Miami Beach during the break between school terms in February 1997. Zachary Bro, another New Yorker, headed to Miami Beach that week as well. The 36-year-old jazz guitarist was there with his wife, Frederica, and their young daughters, Alexis, Mia and Nina. Neither family could have known that their lives were about to be tragically linked. On their last day of vacation, the Broses joined other beachgoers already enjoying the sand, sun and surf. The same day, the Polyevs made their way down to the 29th Street beach. Eugenie Polyev loved to swim. So, as her husband enjoyed the sunny day, Eugenie joined a number of others already in the water. But no one at the 29th Street beach knew that a riptide was rushing with deadly force under the surface. A riptide is a narrow slice of rapidly coursing water that moves away from the shore, and Eugenie had the extreme bad luck of swimming right into the perilous current. The powerful riptide immediately pulled her out to sea. As Eugenie cried out for help, it was Zachary Bro, building sandcastles with his daughters, who heard her screams. The young father shot into the water, while his wife ran toward the boardwalk to find a lifeguard. Zachary was also overcome by the ocean's force. Horrified bystanders gathered at the surf's edge and watched the two swimmers thrash in the ocean. The Polyev and Bro families sued Miami Beach, arguing that the city had control over the area. The city should have warned swimmers of rip currents, they claimed. And why weren't lifeguards on duty? Anyone could see people swimming. Didn't Miami Beach have a duty to provide ocean lovers with a safe place to swim? After all, the city seemed to be encouraging people to swim by supplying public showers and water sports rentals. The city saw its responsibilities differently. Miami Beach's lawyers held that the city couldn't protect against riptides, events that occur suddenly, randomly, and in oceans all over the world. How could the city protect people from the natural forces of the sea? Keep in mind that Florida has over 2,000 miles of shoreline. It would be impossible to protect the public at all times. Did the city of Miami Beach have a duty to warn swimmers of danger, or did Polyev and Bro swim at their own risk? You be the judge. Verdict of the case of the raging riptide. Last year, the Florida Supreme Court made clear that Miami Beach was running the beach on 29th Street as a public swimming area. The city was responsible for the beach and water activities. The court added that Miami Beach knew people were swimming there and, as a result, had provided access from the boardwalk as well as beach facilities, such as shower. The city, whether it admitted it or not, was running a swimming area at the 29th Street beach and had a duty to warn swimmers of the possible dangers. 9 years have passed since Israel Polyev and Frederica Bro lost their spouses, and a settlement from Miami Beach seems likely. Lifeguards are now posted on the 29th Street beach, and the city's website provides information on rip currents.
New words.
Rabbi.
Jazz.
Guitarist.
Tragically.
Link.
Surf.
Riptide.
Deadly.
Slice.
Extreme.
Perilous. Boardwalk.
Lifeguard.
Bystander.
Thrash.
Claim.
Ocean lover.
Rental.
Randomly.
Verdict.
Raging.
Supreme.
Access.
Facility.
Spouse.
Settlement.
Post.
Proper nouns.
Israel Polyev.
Cedarhurst.
Eugenie.
Miami Beach.
Zachary Bro.
New Yorker.
Frederica.
Alexis.
Mia.
Nina.
The 29th Street Beach.
The Florida Supreme Court.